Hello, everybody. This is Gerald Celente, and it's Wednesday, July 10th, 2024. And very happily and very sadly, we have with us again Judge Andrew Napolitano. Happily because of the man that he is, what he does for America, how he fights for our freedom, our peace, and our justice. And not only speaks about it, he knows about it like nobody else that I know about. And when it comes to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Judge, thanks for being here today.
It's a pleasure, my dear friend.
And you have another article coming out tomorrow. And by the way, before we go any further, you got to see the people that he has on his show, Judging Freedom. Nobody anywhere, anyplace does anything like this. No one. The people that he has on are exceptionally strong individuals that nobody could buy out. No matter where they came from, who they are, they're themselves. And their bottom line of every one of these people is the true American spirit of what this country was once upon founded upon. And which we've lost now. And your article that's coming out tomorrow, another one, sadly makes that point. Holes in the Constitution. In his article, Holes in the Constitution, it begins in his famous dissent in Olmstead versus United States, Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis in 1928. Call the right to be left alone the most comprehensive of rights and the right most valued by civilized men. He was referring to the right to be left alone from the government, a right that today we call privacy. A right to be left alone? You know, Judge, with all due respect, who the hell are you to say to be left alone? I'm the governor. I'm the senator. I'm the president. I'll tell you what to do.
You know, this is really the attitude that they take. The federal government now captures every keystroke on every mobile device and every desktop in real time without a search warrant. The NSA even spies on the Congress and on the courts. Justice Scalia told me that they had from time to time talked about it. They knew that their phone calls were being monitored as well as their emails. The article points out that the supposed remedy for this is this information can't be used to prosecute you. But still, it is an invasion of your privacy. And when the feds do want to use information that they acquired illegally in order to prosecute you, they lie and create a false trail claiming that they acquired the information legally. It's simply reprehensible how they are willing to trample the Constitution. When Edward Snowden revealed all of this, and the Bush administration got caught with its pants down, Congress enacted legislation to make it legal. It's still unconstitutional, but legal. How can something be legal and unconstitutional? Well, the Congress breaks the Constitution all the time. But the feds have been very adept at keeping this from coming before federal courts, because the last thing they want is two things. The last thing they want is for their sources and methods of spying on us to be revealed in a public courtroom, and the last thing they want is for these sources and methods to be condemned and found unconstitutional by a federal judge. But the law that permits this has a sunset clause. It sets after 5 years. The last time this law was reenacted was 2 months ago, and this time it sunsets in 2 years. And it passed the House by one vote. It was a tie vote on the floor of the House. Yeah. And that great defender of civil liberties, I'm being sarcastic, of course, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, who, when he was just a congressman from Louisiana, voted against this. but now that he's an elitist and is part of the establishment, left the speaker's chair to come down and cast the tie-breaking vote in favor of it to allow this warrantless spying on us. And of course, it passed in the Senate over Rand Paul's filibuster by one vote. So these are dark times again when the government can cut these holes in the Constitution. When the oath that I took when I became a lawyer and when I became a judge to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution is the same oath that they take and they disregard it. Who will protect us from the government, Gerald?
It's still only up to us to unite. We need a new movement in this country. It's finished. You mentioned that guy, Mike Johnson, you know, and about how they have, they're spying on everybody and they know everything about them. You know, there's I've heard stuff come out about the garbage behind this guy's life.
Yes.
And that's why he does what he's being told, because of what they know about him.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because he met with six people from the intelligence community about 2 hours before he cast that vote. Gee, what did they show him in the privacy of his suite of offices in the Capitol that caused him to change his vote 180 degrees? They all change. Trump was the victim of all this in 2015 and 2016 when he was running against Hillary. Yet, even as president of the United States, he supported it. And even as the ex-president, he supported it. After, before Mike Johnson had this meeting with the intelligence community, he flew to Florida to meet with Trump. So they obviously have dirt on enough people to assure that they will continue to get the funding and the legal authorization to do what they're doing.
In this article, you write about holes in the Constitution and about that guy, the Supreme Court Justice Brandeis, and about the Olmstead versus the United States. It said it involved bootlegging, and the feds tapped his phones, blah, 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 blah. Bootlegging. Isn't that a nice word, bootlegging? You're not allowed to drink. You are not allowed to drink alcohol. If you do, you go to jail. How the hell could they make crap up like this?
Unless you're Joseph P. Kennedy, and then, of course, you'll get the booze to come in through Canada and leave a fortune to your family and your heirs.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine passing a law like that? Yeah. And they did the same thing with pot.
Yes.
Now they legalize both of them. And you know why they legalize both of them? First, they condemn it. Then they legalize it because we get a lot of tax dollars from you.
Correct.
You go out, you buy a bottle of wine, a quart of scotch or something. What you're paying for with taxes is more than the stuff is worth.
Correct. Correct. Government just keeps growing. It gets richer and fatter. It takes more liberty. It takes more property. It borrows more money. The end is going to be perhaps a revolution like in the Soviet Union, and hopefully bloodless like theirs was, where the federal government will just collapse and we will break off into independent republics. At some point, the dollar bill in your pocket will no longer be a medium of exchange. No one will accept anything or trust anything from the federal government.
I've been saying this for, God, I don't know how many years. You look at inflation now. Again, when you and I were young guys, a slice of pizza and a soda was 15 cents for the pizza, 10 cents for the soda.
Correct. For years, that's all it cost was a quarter. Yeah.
For years. From when Eisenhower became president, he lowered the spending in the defense budget. From the time he was president to 1963, inflation was only going up like around, on average, about 1% a year. Then You mentioned Kennedy. Again, that great speech of his at the graduating students of American University on June 1963 about peace, and he ends it by, "We'll never go to war again." What, 5 or 6 months later, boom, Jack, you're dead. Right. LBJ takes us into Vietnam War. That was the beginning of the inflation cycle.
Correct. Correct. And it's only gotten worse since then.
That's right. And you remember back now, remember the war ends around what, 73, 74, the Vietnam War. You remember in the 70s how gasoline prices skyrocketed?
Yes.
You remember waiting online to get gas?
Yes.
Yeah. These are the same people that are robbing us of our freedom every day. And this is a t-shirt that I got made when this guy was running for president. Could you see it?
Yep. Beware Slick Willie.
Yep. People don't remember what an arrogant piece of low-life scum this guy was and still is. It's one after another. One after another, we have people that are running and ruining this country in front of our eyes, and now we got a freak show in front of everybody's eyes for all to see. Again, Daffy Duck versus Goofy.
Well, when George W. became president right before 9/11, the federal government's debt was $2 trillion. When he left, it was $9 trillion. It's now $35
trillion. And you go on in your article to say, the reason I say that this pro-liberty view prevailed on paper is because the feds, whose appetite for surveillance is insatiable, have found ways around it. The government continues to cut holes in the Fourth Amendment, and it has gleefully jumped through them. Isn't that nice?
You know, what I wrote in there is common knowledge to judges and lawyers that practice criminal law, but it is not common knowledge to the public. And a lot of the public will say, well, I don't do anything wrong. What do I care about this? Everybody should care about their personal dignity. Everybody should care about their right to privacy. Everybody should care about their right to exclude the government from their home, from their phone, from their computer, from their brain. Otherwise, 1984, which, of course, was 40 years ago, but as it's a metaphor for total government control, and we're on the verge of that right now.
We're not on the verge. It's happened.
Well, I'm going to use a Gerald Celente line now. Joe Biden is collapsing. How will he get reelected? Take us to war.
Yep.
How will he start a war? False flag. Every time there's a false flag, FDR. December 7th, 1941, perhaps 9/11, but whenever there's a false flag, the country rallies around the president. The boys join the military in droves. They go off and kill people, and the country's united, and the military-industrial complex gets richer and fatter and happier.
You know, what you write here again about how we lost our rights here. And you go, much of this stems from the Patriot Act of 2001, which unconstitutionally permits one federal agent to authorize another to obtain evidence from a custodian of records. The instrument of doing so is called a national security letter, not a search warrant issued by a judge, and not a subpoena voted on by a grand jury, but permission from an FBI boss. Judge, before you go on, I thought Orwell died because nobody could have come up with a better name than calling this a Patriot Act.
Yeah. It's actually an acronym, and I don't know what each of the letters stands for. But of course, it is probably the worst piece of legislation Congress ever enacted since the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 that made it a crime to criticize the government. Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich have both told you and me that they had 15 minutes to read the Patriot Act before they had to vote on it. Now, you are listening to and engaging with one of the few people in the world who's read the Patriot Act from beginning to end twice. It takes 24 hours, so you've got to do it over a course of a few days to do it. Wow. Because it doesn't read like a novel. It amends pre-existing statutes, so you have to have all the other statutes in front of you to see what the amendments are. But when you read the whole thing, you see how it totally guts the Fourth Amendment. So one FBI agent literally can authorize another to sign a national security letter, a euphemism for a self-authorized search warrant. So they'll go to your lawyer, your doctor, your banker, and say, give me Gerald Celente's records. I'm not going to give you this records. Here's a national security letter. Well, what is this? It requires you to give us the records. That's what George W. Bush, that's what the Patriot Act does. Now, to scare the people listening to us, but this is true, the Patriot Act was drafted before 9/11.
Wow.
It was offered in the weeks following 9/11. It was passed on October 15th. Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich and about 30 others in the House voted against it.
That's it.
Rand Paul was not in the Senate at the time. I think there were just two senators who voted against it, Wellstone and somebody else, two progressive liberals. Everybody else fell into line, lockstep with this Dick Cheney, George W. Bush orchestrated monstrosity that is still with us.
Again, look at who you talked about. Again, you're being, I don't want to get, you know, banned on this channel because you called him Dick Cheney. I call him Penis Cheney because I want to be appropriate here, you know. I don't want to call him a dick. Look at that little arrogant, stupid piece of scum. Look at him. Look at little Georgie Bush, a little boy of nothing. 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 And that's who runs and rules us. Over and over again, you talked about that little Mike Johnson, little boy of nothing. One little clown after another, running and ruining our lives, destroying the freedom of this country. Where is the outrage of the masses?
There is no outrage, and there should be. Let me tell you that a whole generation of federal agents in all the alphabet letter federal agencies have come of age being taught seize information first, spy first, surveil first, worry about the Fourth Amendment later. From and after the Patriot Act and 9/11 and the Cheney Bush administration, I put it in that order. Because Bush, in my view, is a dope. Cheney is not. Cheney is evil and smart.
Evil.
And with one or two exceptions, was able to manipulate George Bush on all of these things.
Yep. Well, what was he? The CEO of Halliburton, right?
Yes, he was. He was.
Oh, and then when they went into Iraq, didn't Halliburton go in there too?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Like I say, you think we would have invaded Iraq if their major export was broccoli?
No.
Same thing with Libya. Same thing with Syria. We're still stealing their oil. We have no right being there. Oh yeah, we're there to get ISIS. Yeah, okay, I got it. You know, Judge, this war going on every day, it breaks my heart. They just killed another 25, 30 innocent Palestinians that are living in tents because their homes are blown to pieces. And the United States keeps supporting them. Hamas said they've come up with a new agreement that they want a peace agreement. Netanyahu said there won't be any peace agreement. And we just keep sending our weapons to keep slaughtering these people. And now Trump came out and said that anybody that's an anti-Semite basically should be killed.
Right. Right.
Trump, oh, you're an anti-Semite if you're against genocide, huh?
Trump,
I'm an anti-American because I'm against American wars. Who are you talking?
This week, the Lancet, which is the oldest and most respected medical journal in the world, a British medical journal, reports that the dead in Gaza are likely to reach 186,000. That's 8% of the population. And last weekend, Haaretz, the daily newspaper in Israel, demonstrated conclusively by revealing emails and text messages and other documents that the Israeli IDF did fire on its own IDF members and on civilians.
That's right.
And that more than half the 1,200 Israelis who died on October 7th were murdered, because they were shot in the back, murdered by the IDF. And the government has yet to deny that. This report has been out for a week, Gerald.
Again, they've been reporting this, by the way. I subscribe to Haaretz. And they've been reporting this for months.
Correct. Correct. Our friends Max Blumenthal and Anya Parampil and Aaron Mate reported this right after October 7th. And the mainstream media just poo-pooed them. Yep. Now mainstream Haaretz has reported it, and the Netanyahu administration has not denied it. Well, they've sent people out there to say what they want to say, but no official denials from the prime minister's office, because if he does deny it, the IDF will come on air and say he's a liar. Now, they're not saints either. They're the ones that killed their own people. But there's an enormous cleavage between him and his military right now. That military was not crafted to conduct a war this long. They're exhausted. They're battered. They're beaten. They're broken. They said yesterday Hamas will still be here in 5 years, no matter what we do. And they're going to take on Hezbollah. Netanyahu's crazy. However, 2 weeks from today, on the 24th of July, we know that he'll receive at least 56 standing ovations on the floor of the House. We know the number because the last time he was there, he received 55. And Mike Johnson, the same Mike Johnson we talked about earlier, and his Republican colleagues are determined to show their love for this war criminal by giving him more than 55 standing ovations this time.
It's heartbreaking. It's truly heartbreaking. And I can't look at these pictures. I see them over. By the way, Haaretz also showed back when an Israeli tank blowing up a kibbutz where the Hamas had people in there about killing their own people on October 7th.
Right.
Now, this is terrible. Again, we're going to be having a big rally up here in Kingston, New York on September 28th. And on the Four Corners of Freedom, Crown and John Street, where the seeds of democracy were sown, Judge Andrew Napolitano, Scott Ritter, Anya Parampil, Max Blumenthal, and others will be speakers, going to music. And we need to unite for peace. And I hope there's a big rally, by the way, on July 24th when Netanyahu comes to the White House, that there are a lot of people out there protesting.
Oh, according to Max, there will be huge protests in D.C. on the 24th, mainly the young people that the government arrested for their peaceful protests. How soon we forget, on college campuses 2 months ago.
Can you imagine this? Could you imagine this? If you're against genocide, you're an anti-Semite? Who the hell are you talking to?
That's the insidious power of the donor class in America. The House of Representatives passed legislation purporting to define anti-Semitism, and it hasn't gotten anywhere in the Senate. Again, Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson is one of those Christian nationalists who believes that God the Father gave Israel to the Zionists.
Yeah, it's in the good book, chapter 6, section 8. It's a comic book. What are you talking about? You know, and it's crap. God gave us a slave. Hey, how about if I don't believe in your God? Can you handle that? What, are there like 4,000 different religions out there? I got to believe in yours? And we're the chosen people? What God would choose people over one person over another? No God would do that. You know, save that crap. Don't want to hear it. And they keep selling this garbage.
They do.
Judge, thank you for all that you do. You got to go to Judging Freedom, everybody. The people that he has on are spectacular. And we have to unite for peace. So please do what you can and support Occupy Peace. And be here on September 28th. You go to OccupyPeace.com. The judge, great Scott Ritter, Blumenthal, Parampil, one after another. We're going to have great speakers here. We need 1 million people here. We got to make the news and stop the war. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Gerald. All the best, my friend.